This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Ben's in studio. Woohoo!
I'm actually in studio. This feels weird and nice.
He looks like particularly good today, ladies. Like super sparkly. His eyes are just bright and shiny.
I have gotten into the guyliner. So if anybody hasn't noticed, I guess why would you notice? I've had Invisalign for the last 3 months, and Monday is my last day of Invisalign. So thank you, Pro Smile Dentistry in Denver, Colorado, for the Invisalign.
Wait a second now. Why did you only have 3 months? What does that do?
Well, my teeth weren't that bad. I had a couple things moving on the bottom, and they said if I let that keep going, it was just going to get worse and worse. And so I took advantage of the opportunity to get Invisalign, and now they're leaving me, which is a good thing. Oh. But I have to take them out before every podcast, or I like spit on the mic and I slur my words. I would do it. It's just I don't know if it'd be the best sound.
Oh, gross! I was at the dentist this week too, and they're like, your bottom teeth are shifting. You need to get a retainer. So you know. Things that
it's not a terrible thing, Ashley.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And do it during a season of life when you're not making out with a lot of people.
Okay. Like right now for you?
Like, yeah, like right now is the perfect time. It actually did come into play when I got them. So I'm not kidding. So when I decided to get Invisalign, I thought, all right, what is on the slate here coming up? A podcast. I can take them out for a podcast. Yeah. It really comes down to what are you eating and who are you kissing?
Okay.
If you're not comfortable with the person you're kissing, like, don't get Invisalign yet, because you would have to take them out every time, and then you have these buttons on your teeth, and it just, I feel like it could feel weird, a little bumpy.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting if, since, like, I've never had a season of my life where, like, making out with someone was a constant, that what if I got Invisalign, and then I found that person where it was constant?
I feel like that would be a huge step in a relationship and a really positive step.
I think so, too. I need to get Invisalign now over Thanksgiving.
If one of the first things you did when you guys are laying on a couch and he leans over and he goes, hey, can I kiss you? And you said, I would love for you to kiss me, but just give me one minute. I got to take out my retainers. I don't know anything hotter. It's really hot. Hey, speaking of hot, we have one of my favorite people ever in Bachelor Nation.
Me too.
Who she is beautiful herself, but she is engaged to one of the hottest men ever to come through the franchise, Sean Booth. We have Caitlin Bristow on the line.
Caitlin!
Hi, guys. Why is it always that Sean's the hot one in this relationship?
Caitlin, I don't get to see Sean much anymore, and so whenever I can talk about him, I get really excited, and so I'll just give him a ton of compliments to try to fulfill my lack of Sean in my life.
Nothing makes me feel better than a Sean Booth compliment. Like, at Carly and Evan's wedding, when he kept talking about me, I was like, I never felt better about myself.
Yeah, because he could have, like, a whole pocket full of compliments, and you could just need one to save your life, and he won't give it to you, so you're lucky to get one.
Aww. Well, Caitlin, we want to talk to you about your big Broadway debut. How did this come about, and what's the show about?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it's all happening. I feel like I've put it out into the universe since I was, like, 5 years old. So I'm like, okay, it took long enough. Like, it's about time this happened. It's basically a Christmas holiday feel-good show for 2 months. It has people from American Idol, The Voice, America's Got Talent, big YouTube sensations. And basically, they reached out for me to host the show. And then they found out that I've been singing and writing music in Nashville. So they're like, oh, and you can join the cast for a few songs. So not only am I hosting it, I get to sing in it as well.
Are they original songs?
Yes. Oh, like old school real Christmas songs, like Oh Holy Night, stuff like that.
Ooh, I like Oh Holy Night. Hey, Caitlin, there's a lot to unpack there. I want to hear about this. So the first thing that was surprising to me, not that you're hosting, I'm not surprised at all that they would ask you to host, it's that you're singing and writing music. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Oh, yes. So, well, I don't know if you know this, but if you live in Nashville, you have to be a singer-songwriter. So basically, I'm just channeling my inner John Mayer, and I'm going for it.
That's incredible. I mean, honestly, like, did that just come out of nowhere, or did somebody ask you to do that? Like, what's the inspiration?
No, you know what? My whole life, I've always loved singing and dancing. I always did musical theater all growing up, and I took voice lessons. And then being in Nashville, Sean actually hooked me up with this really good vocal coach. She actually used to work with Taylor Swift when she was really young. And I just absolutely fell in love refell in love with singing again, being in Nashville, and the city is just full of talented people that I started meeting songwriters. I started hanging out with other country artists, and I just kind of got involved into that circle. And then I've written 4 songs now, and I'm recording my last one tomorrow. I'm going to start putting some out soon.
I was going to say, okay, that was my big question. When is the album actually dropping?
Well, I'm thinking after my Broadway debut would be a good time.
Caitlin, the life that you're living right now is wild. After your Broadway debut, I'm dropping an album. All right, Caitlin.
That is a first for Bachelor Nation for sure. But seriously, Caitlin, the pop star, like if you weren't the Bachelorette, I could totally see you as a pop star.
Well, maybe being in the Bachelor world was just a little segue, you know?
Yes.
You have really done, I mean, you know, living in this world and watching people kind of post Bachelor and what they do with, I guess, the platform that they're given, you have done more than most in such a good way, right? You've always been energetic. You've always been outgoing. People have always loved you, and I feel like I'm just giving you a ton of compliments.
Are you hitting on me?
I might be hitting on you again. I don't know how to get out of this. Like, sorry, Sean. I'm stuck in a cycle. Every time I talk to Caitlin, I'm just getting used to giving her compliments. But no, honestly, like, you are the triple threat. You now,
she,
I know,
really is.
You dance. You're singing. You're writing. What is next? Like, do you have a vision in mind? Or, like, where is your life moving?
You know, I really do feel like singing and doing something in that world is going to be next, just because I am so passionate about it. And I do feel like I have the right people around me to succeed in that. And I mean, I don't like saying, I just come off a reality show and be like, I'm a singer now. But I think I'm willing to put in the hard work and show people that I've loved this my whole life and that it's a passion of mine. So I hope to just kind of dive into more singing in the new year, because I think I'll be settled down. And everyone keeps wanting me to say, well, what about wedding planning? And I'm like, yeah, nope, singing.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, don't just ignore those questions.
Hey, Caitlin, what kind of genre is the music?
It's kind of, well, I mean, I'm in Nashville, so I feel like I got to do a little country, but I grew up loving country music, so I'm kind of going like the country pop route, just because I feel like my voice is meant to be that way. And a lot of people hear my speaking voice and they're like, I don't picture you as a singer. But even Sean says, he's like, you have no idea it's you when you hear you sing.
Well, I've always thought you were very Miley-esque, even the way you look and then the way you speak. So I feel like
Miley.
You'd get like Miley voice out of you.
Oh, okay. I love that. Yeah, I drink like a couple whiskeys before and get a little raspy. It's all good.
I do want to ask though. Okay, how is Sean, and how are you and Sean doing?
Oh, he's so good. He's just killing the fitness thing, yeah. And he's just such a little go-getter. He makes me feel lazy when really I'm super busy. So he's just totally involved in the fitness world, making me feel lazier every day. And his meal plans are killing it. You know, he's been so happy lately because he gets such nice emails from people that he's just like changed their lives with his meal plans. Because
awesome.
This lady the other day just said, you know, she feels so confident going to her sister's wedding now, and she lost 32 pounds.
Wow.
And fits into her dress. And she just, yeah. And he's just been getting a lot of good feedback from that. So it's really nice that he can share his passion for his healthiness. So I don't even know the lingo to use for the health world, but whatever it is, he's killing it.
And then how is Tucker Doodle Dog?
Oh my gosh, he's perfect. Moving to New York, I'm like, I have to be away from them for 3 weeks, and then they're going to drive up and spend the rest of the time there. But okay. I'm like dreading being away from Tucker, because I'm like, I can FaceTime with Sean and talk to him every day, but like Tucker doesn't understand that, and it's really sad to me.
I always say that when my parents are like, you miss the dogs more than you miss us. I'm like, yeah, because I FaceTime you every day. I don't get to talk to the dogs every day.
Ashley, let's be honest. Exactly. You miss the dogs more than you miss your parents. Like, don't try to hide it. Here, Caitlin, the other day I like to watch, and all my friends do, that my friends are huge fans of you and Sean, and, yeah. And I am as well. I watch your videos, and I laugh out loud at everything you do. The other day, I've been working out a lot, and I've been on this diet plan myself. I've been trying to get in shape.
That's why you're glowing.
It must be why I'm glowing. Oh. Ashley said I'm glowing today. But anyways,
and
I got a compliment from one of my friends, and they said, Ben, like, you're looking fit. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, that's good. That's good. And I'm not kidding. It didn't take me 4 minutes until I was checking my phone, obviously. I looked on Instagram, and there's a picture of Sean just standing there in one of those tight shirts that he wears. And I was like, gosh, dang it.
Course.
Like, I'm never like, there's nothing that makes you feel worse about yourself than seeing a picture of Sean in a tight shirt.
I know.
Caitlin, you know what?
Try living with him.
Yeah.
This is so funny because every guy in the Bachelor family, if you were to ask them who their man crush in the family is, it's always Sean. The guys like lose their crap over Sean being just like so hot and having everything going on.
He's a sexual beast.
He does have an indescribable swag.
That's right.
He really does.
So you're moving up to New York for 2 months fully. Like you're going to be living there. You're moving from Nashville. When does that start?
So I'm going November 3rd, and I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous because we've been spoiled in the house we just bought. It's so gorgeous, and I'm going to, like, this tiny little apartment with no laundry, and I don't really know what I'm going to do with myself, but that's how New Yorkers live. I'm gonna do it.
Did the show set you up with an apartment?
Yep, apartment, and it's close to the theater, and it's actually close to Sean's family, too, which is nice because they're over in Connecticut, and it's a two-hour drive, so
they'll
be able to come up and see the show a lot.
My last question about the show is there any plot line to it, or is it all just performance, like singing and stuff?
It's just all singing. I mean, basically, I'm introducing each singer for their songs, and then I'll jump in for a couple, and then I think we talk about, like, the holidays and what the holidays mean to us, and it's going to be the same show every night, but different crowds, so new to them.
You ever get tired, worried that you're going to get tired of doing it every single night, like, 8 times a week?
Ashley, absolutely not.
Okay.
If that ever crosses my mind, I'm going to slap myself and be like, Caitlin, you're standing on a stage on Broadway. You're living your dream.
Okay, good.
I was actually there. I don't know if people remember this, but I was actually there for Caitlin's Broadway debut.
On Aladdin.
That's right. Yeah, I spent that day watching Cupcake, our good friend Chris Chamberg, dance his little heart out and sing at the top of his lungs.
I brought my Jasmine costume from home, and I've been thinking about who could be my Aladdin for Halloween, and Chris would love to do that.
Oh, he's good at it. Trust me. I've seen it.
Yeah.
He's got some great
Aladdin.
Spirit fingers.
Aladdin.
Hey, Caitlin, before we let you go here, I know you have to catch a flight. Just give us a quick shout out to, what you're doing on Broadway. What's it called? When does it start, and how people can find tickets?
Oh my gosh! Wait, I don't know how you find tickets.
Google. That's Google. Okay.
Teletron.
So it's called Home for the Holidays. It's a Christmas show over middle of November to end of December. It's winners from American Idol, The Voice, a bunch of amazing talent. And actually, you know what? The link is in my bio on Instagram to go buy tickets. So you can do that and come watch me in action.
Perfect. Keep crushing it, Caitlin. Seriously, it's fun to watch.
And I will 100% be there around Thanksgiving. I'm going to see you. I'm not going to miss this. I'm a big Broadway buff.
You can sleep on my weird New York couch.
I love that. Thank you. All right,
thanks,
see you
guys.
Then. Bye.
Hey, thanks, Caitlin.
Bye.
If you do want to catch Caitlin, it'll be at the August Wilson Theater. Tickets are at Broadway.com.
You know, she is absolutely crushing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin is really like one of the most talented people, and I'm not just saying this because I'm not hitting on her anymore. I don't think so, at least. But no, she really is. You even knew that when she was the Bachelorette. Like,
yeah.
She is just one of the most skilled and talented people to ever come through this franchise. You knew she was just going to be a star at whatever she did post Bachelorette. All right. Ashley gave me a compliment when I walked in and said I'm glowing, and I didn't want to tell her why, but there is a reason. It's my MeUndies.
Oh my God, that's why.
Hey, MeUndies is back and better than ever. How are your undies feeling right now, listeners? A little saggy, a little too tight, riding up a bit. Oh, I hate that. You need to get MeUndies, feel good undies. Your butt will be proud to wear. They will be the most comfortable pair of undies you will ever own. And you can check it out for yourself at MeUndies.com/almostfamous. With tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and women, MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. Speaking of personality, we'll talk about my personality later on this podcast. I do have one. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they can use a naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. Okay, here's the deal. For a limited time only, check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print. Lights out. What in the heck would you need glow-in-the-dark? Oh, I might understand why you need glow-in-the-dark panties. Lights out. Why not update your underwear drawer with glow-in-the-dark underwear. Okay, you can glow at the same time as being in the dark. And if your underwear isn't your thing, MeUndies also makes the softest socks in the world.
Oh, man, another product for us to try out. I'm very excited. I love MeUndies so much.
Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive offer just for you. Get 20% off the softest underwear and socks you will ever own. Plus, wait for it, free shipping. Plus a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com. That's MeUndies.com/almost famous. That's MeUndies.com/almost famous. Purchase them. They'll make you hang well.
And they'll make you glow. Glow in the
dark. They will make you glow. We have a very, very special guest in studio with us today from The Bachelor and most recently WeTV's Marriage Boot Camp reality stars, Julia Kinney.
Hi, everybody.
What's been going on since we last saw you heartbroken during Bachelor in Paradise season 2?
Oh my gosh, that was forever ago. Well, I started obviously dating JJ last year and...
Okay, wait, let's backtrack for a second. You were on Crystal's season with me,
mm-hmm.
and then we did our first season of Paradise together,
right?
Season 2,
mm-hmm.
and you had a little drama with Joe Bailey.
You who's Joe Bailey?
And apparently, since then, you ended up falling for our fellow castmate, JJ Lane?
Who was on Caitlyn's season of The Bachelorette.
And one of Ben's good friends.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. We stayed friends after the show. We talked, you know, constantly. He's a single dad. I'm a single mom. So we talked a lot about that and just like the struggles of, you know, being a single parent and I don't know, just bonded. We were really good friends for a long time and we go to events together. And then finally we're just kind of like, what are we doing? We should be dating. I mean, I'd watch him go on dates. I'd be like, go get him, JJ. But yeah, we ended up, it was just more of an organic thing. I don't know. We just decided to start dating and then the opportunity for Marriage Boot Camp came along. And we both thought it was a great idea because I live in San Diego, he lives in Denver, and we just wanted to escalate the relationship to see where it was going to go because, you know, I didn't want to introduce anyone just to my daughter. And so that's why we did Marriage Boot Camp.
So it's called Marriage Boot Camp, but you don't have to be married.
No, not for the reality stars, I guess. But I think the other ones, they mostly are.
So that's a point to bring up here, just in case people don't know. So you do have a daughter, correct?
I do.
Yeah, yeah, tell
Ireland.
Us a little bit about her.
Ireland is 4 and a half now. She is a spitfire. She keeps me under my toes. Like, I'm exhausted all the time, but she is literally the best thing that's ever happened in my life. She is so fabulous and wonderful.
I want to know when you think is the right time for people to meet your daughter, like JJ, mm-hmm. or did you ever meet his?
I never met Gemma. We would FaceTime. So I met Gemma via FaceTime. He met Ireland via FaceTime, but I had never introduced anyone to her in her entire life. So she's 4 and a half now. I'm very, very protective of her. And I'm not going to just introduce anybody into her life when, you know, she doesn't have a father and I don't want her to get attached to people that, you know, aren't going to be in her life for a long time.
So here's the deal. So you go on, you're dating JJ. Okay. That's where this is at right now. And you go on Marriage Boot Camp Reality Stars, kind of without ruining the whole show or ruin the whole show. I have nothing invested in this. What happens? How does this play out with you and JJ?
So on last Friday's show, you guys got to see a little bit about, I think, the main reason why I couldn't move forward with JJ in the long run. Basically, he wrote this letter that basically just picked apart everything about me physically that he didn't like. And it was like nothing to do with our relationship or my personality, and it was a huge red flag, obviously, and it was something that I thought to myself, like, I can't be with someone like that long term. What if I get in a car accident, or what if I gain 5 pounds, or, you know, it's just not anything that I was interested in.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, where did that come? I mean, I'm guessing.
What kind of things are in this letter?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that the counselors during Marriage Boot Camp encourage you guys to write a letter about all the things that your partner wanted you to work on.
Right. It was something along those lines. It was called the letter that was never sent. It's basically a letter that you write all the things down about your partner that maybe you don't like, that would hurt their feelings, or you want them to work on, anything along those lines. And we, when we wrote the letter, we didn't actually think that our partner was going to read it. So, then they kind of like had another drill later that day. And I obviously was thinking, like, come on, what are they going to do with this letter?
What'd you say about JJ?
I just basically said that I think that he was hung up on his marriage and that he needed to deal with, you know, things with his ex-wife. And I think that he just has a hard time moving forward because he hasn't fully gotten over that yet.
This is tough. I mean, I get it, right? So it doesn't sound like JJ was just doing this out of nowhere, right? He was prompted to write all this stuff down. Didn't know if you're going to read it or not. And then you have to read this, or you get to read this letter that he's wrote about you. And it hurts. It stings deep, right? And so your response to that was?
Well, he actually refused to read the letter. Okay. And then the doctors kind of forced him. He like, they framed it and put it in our room. So when I walked into our room, it was sitting right there. Yeah, they're fun over there. But yeah, so I think he thought that I would have never read it. And when I did read it, it was just so shocking to me because we'd been such close friends for so long. And I was just like, really, this is what you see when you look at me? Like, that's so sad. And yeah, it was hurtful. I mean, luckily, I'm a really confident woman and I don't believe the things that he wrote. But if I wasn't, I think that would have been damaging for life, honestly.
Yeah, I haven't seen the episode, so I actually don't know like what it says. I mean, JJ is a buddy, so I'm gonna kind of stay out of this. One thing I do know about JJ is he's very honest.
Yeah.
And his filter, as we've seen even on shows, he just doesn't have one. Like what he thinks is what he says. I'll have to go back and watch this episode to see what this letter says. It just doesn't sound like a very healthy exercise. I don't see the benefit. What was the benefit in this?
Drama for a TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope not.
Because, I mean, the way that we read the letters was us, half of us actually pretending like we had died. And then he was basically at my deathbed. And he was
And he was admitting the things that he didn't like about you.
No, the doctor was like, JJ, this is the last thing you ever said to Julia. So go ahead and read this to her on her deathbed. And it was just probably the worst part was just that he was worried that I was going to get bigger and that he thought that I already was. And I mean, there was a lot like
JJ. We'll need to have him on next week to scold him.
Yeah. This just doesn't sound like a healthy practice. Like, okay, here's the deal. I'm not defending JJ. I don't know what the letter said, so I really have no basis for this. But the practice in itself doesn't sound healthy to me, right? You ask somebody to write a letter, to be honest, to get out all of your issues, which I think is healthy in a relationship, is to say, okay, these are the things that I'm not exactly excited about in my partner, or these are the things I have issues with in my partner. I don't think that's a bad practice. If you like put it in a journal and you keep it to yourself, or you talk to a counselor or a confidant in it. But don't do it with the expectation of, hey, my partner's never going to see this, so it won't actually affect them personally. This is just a practice for me to get off my chest. Mm-hmm. Then make you read it. Like, totally unfair and totally uncalled for on a part of these relationship doctors, the love doctors.
Totally. Jade and Tanner did this last year, and Jade said that it was, like, the most emotionally exhausting 16 days of your life. Yes. Do you agree?
1,000,000%. I wanted to leave as soon as I got there.
So, Jay.
Yeah. I mean, the first day, it was just, like, super overwhelmed and... I mean, after the letter came out, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, how am I supposed to continue like doing therapy, you know, with someone that I don't really, truly trust anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was exhausting.
So today you and JJ are no longer together. I'll spoil that. I happen to know that from my inside sources. And you are dating somebody that Ashley told me about.
Yeah. You met him at Carly and Evan's wedding. And
yes, you were right there.
He is who?
Aaron Bass.
It is
Evan Bass's brother.
Oh, I was going to say. Hey, that darn Bass family continues to pick up the chicks.
So you've been together for roughly 5 months now. Tell us about how it was at the wedding. Was it love at first sight? You were kind of giddy over him.
It actually wasn't love at first sight just because I didn't know much about him. I was there focused
on... Well, you're not
on...
supposed to know the person you fall in love with at first sight.
My point was I was focused there on Carly, and I was there for Carly. We're in Mexico. I'm not thinking about, like, trying to meet somebody.
You're a bridesmaid.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was a groomsman, and so I met him when we were trying on our, you know, wedding outfits and all of that, and we all went to dinner together and went out with Wells and went out drinking to the bar and just ended up talking to him. He's amazing. He's he looks nothing like Evan. I wouldn't have even thought they
Does
were
that
related
make him amazing.
No, not at all. Sorry. But he's very funny, he's charming, he's sweet. It's just not something that I had thought about at that time, just because he lives in Nashville, I live in San Diego. I had just done the long distance thing, you know. But the more time I spent with him, the more I realized I was like, hey, this guy's pretty cool. And he ended up coming to visit me in San Diego, and the rest is kind of history from there.
What an incredible story. I mean, it is crazy how you can meet somebody and then you have to meet them at a wedding, which I feel like a lot of people meet at weddings. I mean, I think
it's a great way to meet.
I was going to say, I want to ask you, Ashley, when she said, hey, I was there for Carly. I'm going to the wedding for Carly. I was there to support Carly and all of that. And not meet somebody is what Julie just said. Yeah. And you go, well, you're at a wedding. Did you in your back of your head think weddings are the best place to meet people?
100%. Yeah. You know, not only is there an open bar, which I think can be dangerous in meeting people too, but I think that people are in the right mindset there because love is on their mind and they're seeing this very happy couple dedicate their lives to each other. And then you're like, okay, well, I think this guy, even if he's not normally in this marriage frame of mind.
I get it. I think we get it.
Frame of mind. Yeah. I think that maybe today he's thinking about that. And everybody looks their best. It's just, what do you think?
I agree. No, there's love is in the air. It's always said when love is in the air and you're celebrating love, I think love flows from it. You're a good friend for going to support Carly at this wedding, Julia. But I'm glad you kept your eyes open and your heart open to what was hiding beneath the Bass family, and that was your now beautiful lover.
Did Aaron Bass meet your daughter yet?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. He was the first guy that you introduced Ireland to since your husband passed away. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a big deal. Yeah. How did he handle
it?
Was he impressive?
Oh, my gosh. He was so sweet with her. He got her a giant pink teddy bear that was bigger than her. And, you know, of course, that won her over pretty easily. And then we went to the zoo, and it was just really fun. It was only for, like, 4 hours, but it was just so much fun. And now they FaceTime all the time, and it's really cute.
Oh, that's so cute. Would you ever consider moving to Nashville to be closer to him?
I would consider it, yeah.
That's a big question. I can see. Wait. No, nobody can see this, but when you asked that, Julia kind of lit up a little bit, like, this has already been talked about.
That would make you and Carly sister-in-laws.
I know. That's something we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, Carly came straight to my house after she came, you know, from getting engaged from Evan on Paradise. And I remember thinking, like, wait, who are you engaged to? She's like, the erectile dysfunction guy. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's got talents.
And back then, I just would have never thought that I would ever, like, be dating, you know, his brother. And, like, it's just crazy.
But we could get 2 bachelor marriages out of that one meeting.
You just got so
Sorry,
excited.
You guys, yeah, I know. I'm sure that she was going to kill me after this.
That was a beautiful
thing.
Hey,
my mom.
Here's the deal.
Mom.
We have a couple emails. A lot of people are huge fans of Julia. And so we have a couple emails that came in asking Julia some questions. And before we do that, though, I want to talk about another one of our sponsors. Hey!
You didn't flow that one as well.
Thanks, Ashley.
You should have been like, have you cooked for Aaron Bass?
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Nice, Ashley. You got my back here. I just got off a flight. Jeez, now I'm self-conscious. Hey, here's the deal. Hey, Julia, have you cooked for Aaron Bass yet?
I haven't.
Okay, if you haven't, I got just the thing for you. It's called Blue Apron. There is some breaking Blue Apron news. Here's the deal. This month, Blue Apron is celebrating its 5th anniversary by bringing back its most popular 20 recipes from the past 5 years. But if you're not familiar with Blue Apron, they're all about giving people fresh recipes to explore as they learn to cook new dishes after new dishes. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. So their seafood is sustainably sourced, their beef, chicken, and pork are responsibly raised, and their produce is from regenerative farms. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for recipe, they are reducing food waste. Each meal comes with an easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. You can make these meals in 40 minutes or less. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences, and it's guaranteed fresh every time. A little bit about me. I like to make this about me. I did start using Blue Apron.
Yeah.
I love to cook. I was worried that Blue Apron and the food boxes would take away my ability to cook and be creative in the kitchen, and it hasn't. It's actually made it easier for me. I can add things to the recipes. I can take away things from the recipes, but the ingredients are there. And so I get to cook for myself. I'm a one-man show, and so I have a little leftover for lunch the next day.
Nice.
Just like I like it. Blue Apron is great. So Back to the breaking news. Try out Blue Apron's all-time customer favorites by going to blueapron.com/almostfamous. You will also get $30 off your first meal with free shipping. That's Blue Apron, BLUEAPRON.com/almostfamous. Do it today. Get creative in the kitchen.
Ben,
it's worth it.
Do you wear a Blue Apron while cooking for yourself? So I can really get the imagery right?
No, nothing.
That,
and I said that as you were saying imagery right, so now it just sounds really creepy and weird that I said nothing.
Maybe get, just some me undies.
Yeah, just some me undies. Yeah, just in case there's some oil splash. All right. Ashley, we got some emails.
All right. Yeah, Julia, our fans knew that you were coming on, so we have a couple emails just for you. This one's sad. It's from Susan. My partner died 6 months ago, and obviously that was incredibly devastating for me. I know I'm not ready for another serious relationship, but it has been very lonely, and I've actually tried to date casually. I hooked up with my friend's roommate. Things got super awkward when he asked me something that brought up my partner. I texted him to ask if he wanted to just be friends or if there was something else going on. He said that he did not want a serious relationship and wasn't good at casual dating. The next week I was hanging out with his roommate. He mentioned hanging out with the guy I hooked up with and his new girlfriend. Obviously, he was lying when he said he didn't want a relationship. This really makes me think that he was overwhelmed by the fact that I'm a widow. Have you ever had experiences similar to this? And do you have any advice for young widows who are dipping their toes back into the dating pool?
Well, the first thing is I can say that I don't think there's a certain time frame that you should be basing it off of. I think it's just based on however you're feeling. Everyone's different. Every situation is different. As far as, you know, people being scared off by it, if someone's scared off by it, it's definitely not the right person for you. And I mean, I don't think that's something that truly really matters. I think maybe she wasn't, like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't mesh as well as she actually thought, and maybe she just needs to take time to herself and, you know, figure out who she truly is and what she truly wants and not try to be dating.
Do you think that possibly he was thrown off by the fact that her husband had only died 6 months earlier?
I think 6 months is a very short amount of time for grief. However, you know, like I said, each situation is different. I think everyone just has to decide for themselves.
I think when we have a loss or we have a hole from whatever it is, you do have to react and try to fill that somehow. And if you don't do it with a positive thing, it can be detrimental to who you are as a person.
I think in general, like if you're losing somebody, no matter if it's a father or a husband or even like a breakup of somebody that you've been with for a long time or divorce, I think any of those situations, you just need to take your time, figure out who you are, what you truly want. And just take the time to heal for yourself. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to feel whole before you try to enter back into a relationship, because then you're hoping that they can fill the void, which they never will. So you have to do that yourself, and hopefully you take the time to do that.
Mm-hmm. You are a testament to this, and it's something that is encouraging for me to see and hear about. And I want you to speak to listeners out there. We do have a lot of young ladies and men that listen to this show. You know, when you go through a tragedy in life, it often feels like it will never go away, right? That just pain and that you'll never heal. But you're a testament that you can heal, that you mm-hmm. can move on, right? Can you give some encouragement or just some words of wisdom based on some experience to the people listening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me personally, I mean, when my husband died, I had no idea what I was going to do. My daughter was 7 weeks old. I had just become a mom. I moved back to Oregon, where my family's from, because I was living in Southern California, and I was in no state to be, you know, raising a child by myself. So for me, I, you know, went to the comfort of my family to try to just like rebuild a life. And I think just the main thing is that, you know, I allowed myself to cry myself to sleep probably for an entire year. And then after that, I was like, okay. I have to make a choice at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I can wallow in my sorrows for probably ever, and probably no one would blame me for that. Mm-hmm. But I look at my little girl and I look at my life. Is this what I want for my life? No, it isn't. And this wasn't my choice, and it is my choice how I move forward. So at this point, I have to choose to be happy. I have to choose to smile at my daughter, and I have to choose to show her when you fall down, you stand back up and you start something new. So I think that's just the main thing, is that it really truly is a choice to be happy.
That's something to sit on for a second. It is. Even as you say it, like, it's a choice to be happy. You know, I think for me and in my experiences in life, I often wait for that moment to say, okay, now I'm good. You know, when I wake up in the morning, okay, now today's the day that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exactly go that way. And so for coming from somebody like you who has been there and is a testament and has the wisdom to share that, it has to be a choice. And for all the listeners out there, we get a ton of emails about relationships and about breakups and about loss from everybody that listens to this podcast. And oftentimes I think Ashley and I are kind of at a lack of words and wisdom, because we don't know.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, it's a choice. Choose to be happy. Choose to move on. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be happy.
People won't want you to move on because they want you to stay. Well, for me personally, I've noticed, and I've talked to people, when you know you're in a situation where your spouse dies, people have a hard time with you moving on.
That's
because
true.
You're not that person's spouse anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard, but you have to not worry about that, because it's your life and you're not that person's spouse anymore, and you're you. So you have to like reclaim your identity.
How long did it take you to feel like you could start dating again and you were you again?
I would say like after the first year, like I said, the first year was just so hard, all the first everything. And then after that, I'll never forget the day I woke up and I was like, no more of this. No more of this. I'm going to do things that I want to do, and I'm going to have a great life with my daughter. I have this beautiful blessing. And I moved back to California, which is where I initially was before and that where I wanted to live. And so that was like my first step, was just like, you know, I can do this. And I didn't start dating, I would say, for like, it was definitely over a year.
It was about the bachelor time, right?
Bachelor was like almost 2 years, okay. Like a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
Do you think that was sort of a helpful way to kind
say.
Of like, you're jumping in so hard by
doing
the Bachelor?
No, this is the thing. I went on Match.com because I was like throwing myself back in. I was like, okay, I got to do this. I don't think we had like cool like Bumble apps back then. So we went on Match.com and I went on the worst dates, you guys. Oh my God, it was so terrible. I just remember coming home and being like, this is what's left. Like, what the heck am I going to do? This is awful. And so I was laughing and I'm like, I'm just going to apply to be on The Bachelor because The Bachelor screened. Like, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, oh my God, you actually should apply to be on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Okay. So anyways, that's how that happened. But.
And did the sense of community that came with the show really help you get off your feet?
I mean, I feel like I truly was like myself again.
Okay.
Before I went
That's
on The Bachelor.
Good.
Because the thing is, I wasn't trying to heal myself by like throwing myself on a reality show.
That would have been one of those bad decisions.
That would have been probably the worst thing.
That would have been, let's fill a void with The Bachelor.
I know. Oh my
that
God.
Should, that, for anybody out there, there's a little public service announcement. If you have a void in life, do not fill that void with reality television.
That's a great pointer. I have one last question for you. You're talking about how you had to like make that choice to be happy and it had to be conscious. So how long did it go from being conscious, like I'm going to smile, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to do what I like supposedly want to do in maybe my brain, but not in like my soul right now, because your soul is probably still sad. How long did it take for those things that you were telling yourself to do to come naturally?
Honestly, it was pretty quickly.
Oh,
like once
awesome.
I like made the shift, everything just I just started doing all the things that I wanted to do, and I didn't worry about what other people thought of me or were judging me for. I just was doing what truly made me happy, and I didn't, it's not that I didn't care about other people's thoughts anymore. It's just that I had been so sad for so long that I was just done.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's kind of like that self-fulfilling prophecy. Like you're saying, I forced myself to smile, and pretty quickly I didn't have to force it anymore.
Right. It's true.
That's really good advice.
It is really good, because I don't think I've really ever had a time where I was in such grief, but I'm thinking back on the times that I could say were like my darkest, which really weren't that dark in the scheme of like life.
It's all relative.
I'm just thinking about, like, if one day I had said, stop, just, like, wake up and be happy and just keep trying to smile and, like, not feel like this, I just wonder how long that would have taken.
Julie Kinney, you are a testament to perseverance and to making those positive choices. Thank you, for coming on today with us. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your story. What I want to tell you is that there are a lot of people out there that listen to this. And so, you know, Ashley knows a piece of the story. I know a piece of the story. And there's people out there that probably know pieces of your story. But for you to explain it and to be intentional about, hey, this is the things you can do to heal, means a lot to everybody out there listening. So thank you for coming in here today. We appreciate you. Round of applause for Julie coming into the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for driving up from San Diego.
Yeah. What's a beautiful day for a drive?
I know.
Totally. Julie, you look good today. Like, Julie, you look really good today. You're glowing.
Yeah, your skin.
And you don't have MeUndies on. So there's got to be another reason. Ashley, what is it?
I think it must be BioClarity. BioClarity, as Julia totally knows, is a twice daily three-step system that's natural. That means no harsh chemicals. It actually uses Floralux, which is the chlorophyll in plants. And it's clean and green and never mean to your skin. It's actually really calming and cooling. Clinical studies show that BioClarity can stop acne before it starts because it attacks acne-causing bacteria. It also reduces redness and pore size. It's 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and gluten-free. Let me tell you about the three steps to clear skin. First, you're going to cleanse with this rich foaming cleanser. It's going to remove dirt, oil, and environmental pollutants. Then you're going to treat. This is going to penetrate your pores and attack the bacteria that causes acne, and it's going to clear up your skin. And then you're going to use the Restore Gel, your favorite part, right, Ben? It's going to leave your skin feeling smooth and refreshed.
I like to restore.
Our listeners are going to get their first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping. That is a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you need to enter our code, which is FAMOUS. And you guys are going to love the new sleek packaging. It looks even better than the old BioClarity, but it's the same good stuff inside. Finally, it's an acne treatment that works. Head over to BioClarity.com and use our code FAMOUS. All right, guys, this has been a big Bachelor Nation news week. So first we have Caitlin and Broadway. Then we have Ari's season with Emily now up on Hulu. So if you want to get to know more about Ari, go to Hulu, watch Emily's season. It's one of the best Bachelorette seasons I've ever watched. So.
Are you going to rewatch it? I might.
I think I'm going to, actually.
There's no shot I rewatch that.
Really?
No.
I'm definitely.
There's a small percentage actually watch his season. I mean, I'm sure Ari's great, but to binge watch a whole Bachelorette season doesn't seem very exciting.
Well, it is, like, you have that problem because it's anticlimactic because you know what happens, so you don't, like, stay invested so long. Mm-hmm. But it was such a good season. I love Emily. I can just, like, watch her talk in her sweet voice.
Yeah, that's not worth it to me.
I would watch it more for Emily and less for Ari.
I have something crazy going on. So I see this picture, and it's in the group thread with me. Group thread that I'm in that I talk about sometimes. Uh-huh. Corinne and DeMario at a Halloween party.
Yeah.
I guess I'm out of the loop.
Halloween party.
They look happy together. Are they dating? Are they hanging out? Like, what's going on? Ashley, I know you know this.
I know that they're not dating. I don't think that
I think they maybe just use it because the magazines use their photo.
I think they're very smart because they know what gets publicity. I think they're definitely hanging out.
Okay.
Is that wrong for me to say?
No.
I think they're friends. Yeah. I think they're totally friends. No. They get along and they're like, let's show up together at the party because it'll make a splash.
I'm really glad they're friends. That is important. My confusion, I remember going back to a few months ago when the whole scandal happened. Yeah. And it was heavy and it was dark and there were tears from the producers and from the cast. I remember that there was just this heaviness over our podcast that day. And I think back on that, and now I look at this, and it's like, okay, I hope they're not using this for fame. I don't know if they are or not.
Of course they are.
I mean, I think they're genuinely friends. I just think that it's maybe pictures and stuff, like timing when there's going to be photogs around, then yeah, that's a little plan.
I'm not being rude. I'm just saying if she's on the carpet alone and he's on the carpet alone, no one's running the photo. Mm. If they're on the carpet together in their nutty Halloween costumes, that photo went everywhere. It just is.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel weird about it. All the listeners out there, please email us. Do you feel weird about this? I mean, I'm glad they're friends. Like I said, I don't have a problem with them being friends, but it seems weird to me. So if you have an opinion, like it or not, if you agree with me or not, email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com.
Can we talk about this headline?
What's up?
Ben Higgins' latest post-bachelor endeavor will make you cringe.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So if you keep reading the first sentence of that, I've read this article, goes, Ben Higgins, who's not known for his sense of humor,
Ben, I think you're
stand-up.
So funny.
What does that feel like to like be, I don't know, Googling and you see an article that says your own name and cringe?
Yeah. It feels awesome.
I've had that before.
Yeah. It feels really, really good. I'm telling you what, like the last few days have been really like uplifting for me too. Okay. So here's the deal. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Last night in Denver, Colorado, at a place called Comedy Works.
It was last night?
It was last night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I pursued stand-up comedy for the first time.
You pursued it.
I did. It was so it was a part of a television show that I'm going to be a part of called First Look on NBC. I'm guest hosting an episode that takes place in Denver. And part of the episode is to put me out of my comfort zone for me to do something that makes me a more well-rounded partner.
Did you get to choose what you're going to do?
No, I mean, no, honestly not, because I think the show said, okay, they looked at me and they said, we need you to be a better, well-rounded partner for somebody. Humor is a huge part of that. Let's see if you have humor or a personality or you don't. So when it was announced that I was doing stand-up in Denver, then the Denver Post did a couple articles. Bustle did an article. And the
That's
whole
where this is.
And the whole article, like, they're shocked. I mean, you know how good it feels for somebody to be shocked that you have a personality?
That's just
awesome.
These people are obviously not listening to the Almost Famous podcast, because if they do, they know you're... No.
They rip on you, too. I'll read your
part.
They
rip on me or him.
Oh, you, Ashley. They say...
Obviously. I'm not saying...
He is now hosting a podcast with the queen of capitalizing on the Bachelor franchise, Ashley I.
Yeah, proud of it.
Ben barely did press after his Bachelor season. Now he's interviewing Bachelor alums every week for his own show.
And I feel like I need to defend myself here. So here's the deal. Ashley's proud that she's capitalizing on the fame. She should be. She's doing great.
Why would I just do it and then be like, you know what? Okay, I went to broadcast. I have a master's in broadcast journalism. I always wanted to do stuff like this. So let's like not make it seem like I was supposed to like, I wanted to go into obscurity.
Well, right. I think you guys own it. You got
here's the deal.
Opportunities.
So let me explain myself here. I need to defend myself. So you're right. Post-bachelor. Let me just give you my life story. It's going to be a lot of fun for everybody to listen to. Post-bachelor, I did very little press. Lauren and I were together. We wanted to pursue our relationship. It was important for us to kind of take a step away to figure out who we were. That was a different time in my life. I had somebody that I was not just responsible for, but that I was trying to pursue a relationship with. I'm on my own now. I'm a one-man show.
Yeah.
I can travel the world if I want, and nobody really cares. And so life for me looks a little different than it did post-bachelor. I was trying to manage my life then in a different way than I'm managing my life now. I do a great podcast.
Thanks,
I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's called The Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio with Ashley Iaconetti.
The queen of capitalizing. Wait, since when in America is it a bad thing to capitalize?
I mean, you had to bring this up, and now she's going to be pissed off the whole show.
I know. No, Ashley, this is really about...
No, I'm kidding. It's
this
all
is
about
Ben. Cringy Ben, so keep going, Ben.
And so we do this podcast, and then NBC reaches out and say, hey, we'd love for you to guest host a show called First Look. I'm all about it. This stuff's fun.
Yeah.
I want to do it. I have no shame in doing this. This stuff's a blast. I got to do stand-up comedy last night. And I tell you what, Ashley.
What? You're good at it.
I failed gracefully.
I'm sure you
did. No, I actually did not fail. We got some laughs. Nobody was too critical. It was a lot of fun. And here's the best part. I would never claim I'm the funniest person out there. I would never claim that that when somebody thinks of me, they go, oh yeah, Ben's so funny. But
I wouldn't say Ben's so funny, but I'd say Ben has a good sense of humor.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope that's the case. I want that. But so here's the deal. I tried something that I wasn't comfortable with last night.
Mm-hmm.
I tried something I'd never done before. I tried something that when I got off stage last night, my heart was pounding.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely pounding.
Was your hand shaking on the mic?
I don't think so. I was really calm and confident up there because I just taught myself to be. Like, I told myself I have to be.
Yeah.
But when I got off the stage, I was freaking out. And I'm glad I did it, because I do actually feel that after last night's experience, I am a little more well-rounded than I was yesterday morning.
That's awesome.
So, hey, to Bustle,
yay,
to the articles
Ben.
Out there that claim I don't have a sense of humor, Let's get to know each other.
Now, I will say I reached out to the girl that wrote the article, lady. I probably shouldn't say girl. The lady that wrote the article. And they did respond, but said she was getting on a plane and unavailable to talk to you. But we did try.
We did try. So here's the deal.
We're not mad at her. We just want to prove how funny you are.
Oh, I'm not mad at her at all. I mean, hey, people are entitled to their opinions. I care. It hurts a little bit, Bustle. Like, it stings a little bit right here in the heart. But it doesn't hurt that much. Like, we could talk about this as friends now, right? But you need to judge for yourself. So check out First Look on NBC. It's going to air, like, January 20th. Look for it on after SNL, the best time slot on television.
Do you have anything funny?
Hey, I'm sorry.
Do you have any jokes you could give us right now?
Oh, yeah. I need you to do your best bit from last night.
So this is how I'll say this. So I walked up on stage.
How many?
350.
Ooh.
Sold out house. So here's the deal. So I walk up on stage. This is my weakest joke. It's how I opened up.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it to you guys.
Why would you open up with your weakest?
Hey, here's the deal. Because you don't want to leave them with your weakest. You want them to leave with the strongest, Ashley.
Okay.
It's stand-up 101, Ashley. How do you not know this?
Did you have a stand-up coach?
I did. I worked with a group called the Pussy Bros. And that's cats, cat bros. So they're a great stand-up group out of Denver. It's three females. They're amazing, and their story is great. And so what you have to do is check out the episode. But here's my joke. So can we pretend for a second?
Yes.
Ashley, will you announce me, please?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for your headlining comic of the night, Ben Higgins?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for the 5 minutes on stage tonight, considering I've already had my 15 minutes. Hey! Yeah! Nobody
little
laughs.
Bit, little cute. Little laughs. Bit cringy. A little bit cringy.
Hey, that's good stuff, but it gets better. So watch the episode. Choose for yourself.
I just think you're not trying to be a stand-up comic. You're just doing it as a bit for this TV show.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't want people to think, vanilla, bland. I remember when SNL did the skit about me for my season. It was the bland man, which is hilarious.
The fact that SNL did a skit about you, that means you've made it,
does
right?
Mean, yeah, and I talk now on this podcast, so I'm not that boring.
Ben, you are one of the least boring people ever.
Actually,
seriously.
I appreciate it. So slowly but surely, we're going to keep showing it. For example, we did Lip Sync Battle. And I'll just give a sneak preview to Lip Sync Battle. My shirt does come off at one point during that. Hey, I'm coming out of my shell.
Yeah.
This is a new Ben. It's not a new Ben. I'm coming out of my shell. I'm opening myself up to the world like a flower in the springtime. No? Okay.
No, yeah.
Hey, we have some great emails.
Higgy's here.
Everybody, watch out. Higgy's here.
All right. So back in college, they used to like say that and chant that when he'd walk into a room. That's how much life he brings a room.
And so now Ashley does it for me on this podcast.
But Dean definitely does it in his everyday life.
You know what I like to do? It gets me really pumped up when I walk into a gym and in my new shorts that I got from our next sponsor.
You got shorts from Fad Fit Fun?
Yeah, they're female, but I like to wear them.
I didn't know that's in the new box. Shorts. Interesting. If you guys don't know already, I'm pretty darn sure you do, FabFitFun sends you the latest in beauty and fashion, fitness and wellness every season. All products are full size and you're going to pay $49.99 each season unless you use our code, which is almost famous, and then you're going to get $10 off that. We are talking about the editor's box right now. The editor's box has some amazing products in it, including this Summer in Rose black fold-over clutch. And this clutch fits so many things in it, it's not your average clutch. There's also a Sterling Forever Wishbone necklace. Dr. Brandt's Pore Dermabrasion, it's back! You guys, I'm obsessed with this dermabrasion stuff. I actually just went on Amazon to get it, to get a new bottle, because I ran out of the stuff that came in for my FabFitFun box. So that's just a demonstration of how many good things you're going to find in this box you're going to use over and over again. It's a world of discovery when you open this box. You're also going to get some Himalayan pink salt and some body oil for, your at-home spa treatment next time you're trying to, like, really zen yourself out. All of this in the editor's box and so much more. Again, the value is $200, but with our code, almost famous, You are going to get your editor's box for only $39.99 at fabfitfun.com.
Ashley, I have an important question for you before we get the emails.
Yeah.
Are we shifting as humans to where having a hairy chest is now attractive again?
I think so.
I like it.
No, it's an important topic for me. I had a comment made yesterday at one point to me about having a hairy chest, and
you do, but you have the perfect amount of hair.
Yeah, but I'm not ashamed of it. I like it, and you don't understand when I shave, like it gets caught on my shirt.
Oh God!
But I just knew somebody that to ask, and so I thought I'd ask Amy and Ashley. Having a hairy chest, is it back? Are we bringing it back?
I've never thought of it as something that should have gone away. I think that men should probably have hair on their chest. I agree with manscaping. I think you could trim it a little bit. I don't want your chest as a 28-year-old boy, as a 28-year-old
man
to look like my dad's chest. But like, I like you to have a little something there.
I hope my chest doesn't look like your dad's chest either. Hey,
Bradley Cooper is an excellent example of hottie.
He manscapes well.
Yeah, Google Bradley Cooper shirtless. You know you can Google almost any celebrity shirtless.
Yeah.
And they pop right up.
I knew that. Wait, Bradley Cooper is hot shirtless.
Can I look at myself? Can I Google Ashley I shirtless?
No, but you can do Ben Higgins shirtless. Yeah. I'll do it.
Okay.
Everybody at home, give that a hot Google.
Yeah, give it a hot Google. And then everybody at home that's listening, please email your opinions on is it cool for
it
men to
massive.
Have a hairy chest? Or not a hairy chest, but a hair on their chest. Email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com with your opinions, your thoughts. All right, Ashley, we got some emails from our listeners. You want to take them over?
Yes. Hello, Ben and Ashley. I currently work as a sex and couples therapist, and one issue I repeatedly hear is the timing just wasn't right. I already love this email. My boyfriend and I lived together for 2 years, and when our lease was coming to an end, he basically told me that he needed to figure himself out and, quote, be alone to work on his wants and needs before fully committing. He insists that he does want to marry me, but it's just not the right timing for him because he needs to mature and grow on his own first. This word timing is something that I just constantly hear in breakups, and honestly, I think it's BS. I would really love for you guys to give your perspectives on this issue. Love you guys. Rachel. All right, before I ask you, Ben, I did a podcast on my other podcast with Jared, Wells, and Cupcake, and this topic got brought up because so many guys, and just like I'm a girl, so I only hear guys saying it. So many guys are saying, oh, the timing, I'm just really not into this timing is not working out for me. And I always think it's BS. Just like our listener, Rachel. And they basically agreed. Those three guys were like, yeah, timing, that excuse is BS because normally it's just a nice way of saying like, I'm not that into you. Because if we really, really are into you, then no matter how bad the timing is and no matter how awful my family life or my work life is, I'm going to make time for you. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes back, and I'm starting to realize this more and more, is no matter what the excuse is, let's break it down for what it is. You're breaking up. Like, and I mean, I think there's 1,000 ways you can sugarcoat it. There's 1,000 ways you can say it nicely, and you don't want to offend the person or make them feel less than. I think that's what this is, hey, I think you're great. I think you're beautiful. I care about you a lot. But the timing's not right. Or, hey, I'm not there yet. Or whatever it is. Let's just say it what it is. You're breaking up. And so if I communicate that to somebody, I hope that they understand that I'm just trying to nicely tell them we're no longer going to hang out. Or if they say it to me, I need to accept it and say, not fight it and not be like, that's BS. Of course it's BS. The truth is they just don't like you.
I agree with you, except I think there's a few cases where timing, like if someone's going through a breakup or getting divorced or something, or if they just got fired, they just can't handle it. So I think that I don't know that they don't like you. They just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm,
but here's what I want to know. I do think there are cases where years later,
yeah,
the timing is right and that same couple works out.
Sure.
You know how in He's Just Not That Into You, the movie and probably the book, they say you're the
rule. You mean
rule.
Your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, I actually don't read it enough.
What are we talking about?
Their rule in He's Just Not That Into You, like it's like you are the rule, you're not the exception. So it's like out of 100 cases, the word timing is probably just an excuse for like, he's just not that into you. But then if you're like the one out of the 100, you're the exception to the rule. Like what Amy's talking about, like right. down the road, it really does work out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, but again, breaking up is hard, and breaking up with somebody is difficult, and it's not fun, and you probably care about that person unless you that person's done something to hurt you. And so if you're just not feeling it anymore, the partner that's getting broken up with has to give that person the benefit of the doubt and to say, okay, I get it. What you're trying to tell me is we're no longer going to be together. That sucks, and it might hurt. But however you broke the news to me, you broke the news to me, and that took something. And so BS or not, timing or not, or if it's true or not, it doesn't matter. You're breaking up. Accept it. Move on. Move away. Go cry in your room somewhere.
Right.
But Ben, you make it seem like this is like a real thing. Like it's time. You're telling me that timing is always BS. I mean, I agree.
No, I'm just saying that it's an excuse. I mean, and if it's valid or not, if somebody uses it and it is actually BS and it's just the truth is just not that into you. Like I guess that movie's title, which is a great title. Then if that's true, great. If it's not, you're still just breaking up.
Would it be better if people just said, we done?
Yeah. Hey, that would be great. Hey, by the way, we're done. I apologize for the last 5 months of our life. But all I'm going to give you is we're done. Sit on that for a little bit. Feel it. Yeah, feel the fact that we're done. And I don't even care enough to tell you and use the excuse
right,
that
I don't,
the timing's
I don't
right.
have time okay. to tell you all my lies.
I have to just mention this one thing. When you blame timing, I know that us girls are like, oh, okay, well, I'll just leave you in the back of my mind. And when the timing is right, it'll all be okay. So, like, if a guy, I don't think has ever said timing to me. No, he hasn't. Thank God.
Did he say, it's not you, it's me?
No, but I've gotten, like, distance before. I'm like, oh, interesting. You're now dating a girl just as far away. You know what I mean?
That's what my point to the very beginning of this was. At the core, they're breaking up with you. You need to move on.
Right. So I'm just saying
don't
out there.
Don't hold out hope, Ashley.
No, but you guys, if they say it's timing, don't be like, oh, okay, well, great. So in 6 months, the timing will be different and we'll work out. Like, don't bank on that.
It's just we're done.
Moving on to Jessica. Jessica says, hi, Ben and Ashley. You guys are always saying we should email you with topics and ideas. So here's one of mine. While we wait in anticipation for the winter games and more Bachelor content, you guys should consider having some throwback Bachelors and Bachelorettes on the pod. Like Jason Mesnick, you can get his opinion on the new school of Bachelor Nation. And what about Andy Dorfman? She'll want to come on and talk about her new book. Maybe Ashley or Jillian, they were the cutest ever. I really, really did love Ashley. Didn't watch Jillian season. I feel like some fresh old blood would mix up things and get us in the mood for Ari. Not a bad idea, Jessica.
I mean, this whole theme of this Bachelor is going to be throwback, right? We're bringing Ari back. So this is going to be a throwback season.
Well, speaking of giving you the throwbacks that you're asking for, we're going to have Bob Guinea on the podcast next weekend.
That's a big deal. Bob is hilarious.
Bob is in your Bachelor Boys text message group.
Yeah, he's the oldest person in the text message group. He brings wisdom. I think his name in the group is GOAT, greatest of all time. He's hilarious. I love Bob. He actually, and this is when the last few months have happened for me and when things have gotten really hard, Bob actually, and I've only met him once, personally reached out to me just with some encouragement and some guidance and some wisdom from his front. So Bob is a great dude. He's going to be awesome on this podcast. I'm telling you, you'll be laughing the whole time. And if you're not, then he really disappointed. It's not our fault.
You know what I have to ask Bob? You know what his rep is in like Bachelor history?
No, what is it?
It's sleeping with the most girls in season than the other Bachelor.
Juicy, juicy.
Apparently, he slept with like, I don't want to like slander him, so I won't throw it out there, but it was more than the three in the fantasy suite.
Come on, Bob, you're better than that. Put little Bob away.
All right, next email.
It's from Allie. Hi, Ben and Ashley. First of all, I love you both so much. Well, thanks, Allie. My question is this. Why is it that after the lead of the show, the Bachelor or Bachelor, and his or her winner break up, the lead never dates anyone else from their season? It seems to me that if the contestants have such strong feelings for the lead, then some of them would reach out again after the breakup that sometimes follows the proposal. I know that Jason Mesnick changed his mind and picked another contestant after the finale, but besides him, I don't think there's any examples of leads dating someone else from their season. For example, Ashley, if Chris Soules were to ask you out after he and Whitney broke up, would you have said no?
Should I answer this now?
Yes.
I always say that I kind of knew once I left Chris's season, like I was really, really infatuated with him during the season. But then when I got on the plane the following day, I was like, okay, I think that may have just been physical attraction and like admiring his personality because he was so sweet. But I don't think that was like the guy that would move to Iowa for. Like, he wasn't my soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably have said yes to a date afterward, though. Mm-hmm. I would have said yes to a date. He did kiss me in an elevator once.
Like after the show? Whoa. This is juicy.
Should we keep that in?
Yeah.
Ashley, what are you talking about? Should we keep that in? That's brilliant. Ashley, tell us about the story.
You were there, Ben.
I don't think I was in the elevator.
You weren't in the elevator. Okay. Now that I'm spilling beans, let's just spill all the beans. We had been coming from you and Lauren. You and Lauren had that really nice suite at the one side of the Bellagio in Vegas.
Oh, okay, during the iHeart Festival last year.
And then Chris and I were in the other tower. So once you guys went to sleep and we ate like all the room service, we walked back, the two of us, to our tower, and then he kissed me in the elevator.
Like, what kind of kiss? Like a long kiss?
It was almost pecky, but like it was in...
Ashley, I don't know if you have makeup on, but you're like, there's like, you're shining right now.
Oh my God.
As you talk about
this. Okay. So anyway, he like took a step off the elevator and then before the doors closed, he walked in, he kissed me. And then,
oh
like,
my gosh.
Yeah. It was
Tell us more.
I wish I had footage.
Was there
footage.
Tongue?
No. It was very brief. It was like really a pack.
What were your thoughts after Chris Soules stepped back onto an elevator for you?
That he was probably drunk is what I was thinking. But I was like, felt actually very, very weird about it until the next day. I thought it was hilarious and a good story to tell. It just felt weird.
Yeah. You haven't told it enough.
It didn't make you tingly?
No, but like maybe like it made me like frown. Like my facial expression must have just been amazing. I wish I had the elevator footage from the camera because like my facial expression was like, I wish you guys could see right now. It's like my brow was like, furrowed. But like I also was like kind of smiling because I thought it was hysterical.
I'm just listening. You look at me like I have a response to this. I'm amazed. This is beautiful.
Sure the next morning, I like.
You've
told
always
you.
Wanted to be a part of a Nicholas Sparks movie, and in my moment, that elevator camera makes a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Oh my
gosh. I can just imagine. Okay, so then the next one is a question towards me. Would I date anyone from my season today? And then they say, I always thought you and Becca would be especially cute together.
I mean, I still do think this.
What?
I think that you guys make a lot of sense.
What, just dropping the bomb on me now?
I don't think that's been a secret or anything.
No, I mean, okay. So let's start with the first question there. Would I date anyone from my season today? I'm not going to say I wouldn't. I mean, I just feel like it's different, right? You've broken up before. You kind of chose somebody else over them. It just doesn't feel natural to step back into a relationship with somebody. I don't know why it doesn't happen more. It might happen kind of behind the scenes a little bit.
But I actually don't think it's happened behind the scenes. That's why I think it's curious. I think like Crystal's pecking me in the elevator may be the most backtracking there's ever been. Like, you have never done it.
No.
The girls are all engaged and they stay engaged.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing is, so for me, you know, a lot of the women from my season left the show and found other relationships, and they dated other people from either the franchise or outside of it. And I don't know how they feel about me, but I actually was really happy for them for that. So like the Bachelor kind of propelled them and opened themselves up to find other relationships.
Yeah.
I don't go back to that. There's no like hard feelings or there's no like, these women are amazing. Are you kidding me? They're 26 beautiful people that I got to know really well. But I just think it's the dynamic that I chose somebody over them.
I think that's probably
And it. I would have a lot of explaining to do. I mean, I had a lot of explaining to do anyways after my season of The Bachelor. But, you know, if I went back to it, I feel like that woman would need an explanation on why I didn't chose them initially. And so would Beck and I be cute together? Of course we'd be cute together. Beck is the best. But Beck and I are not dating. We won't be dating. But Becca is one of my favorite people in the world. So, of course, anybody that dates Becca, people are going to be like, oh, that's so cute.
That's true.
Because she just makes it cute.
That's so true.
Would you tell her it's the timing?
Yeah. You know, the timing's not right with Becca right now. just doesn't make sense for me.
But wait, Ben, if there was one girl you had to ask out, like say you like had a knife to your throat,
mm-hmm. and this you is had always
to,
a fun
you
game.
Had to take one girl from your season out on a date now, who would it be?
Oh man, you just asked me that like that. If I had to take one girl from my season back out on a date now, who would it be? So I mean, honestly, it would probably be Becca.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why I gave you the question.
Yeah, I just can't think. I mean, all of them are great, right? But I when I go back through, a lot of them are like either super close with Lauren, so that would mm-hmm. you know not be okay, and it wouldn't be like fair of me to ask that of yeah. them, or I didn't get to know them very well.
Yeah,
I mean, you have like so Becca would be it. So thank you, everybody. That was a great. That's great.
All right, we both told stories that we didn't want to tell. Yours wasn't a story, but you know what I mean.
Hey, everybody. This has been one of the most fun podcasts because I am sitting next to the beautiful Ashley Iaconetti in studio.
I feel like I couldn't talk today.
You're
so,
fine.
Like, my bad. It wasn't like my hottest day.
There's a lot of grace given on this podcast.
Hey. They're laughing because they know.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Before we go, and before I sign us off here, I have one last question I've been wanting to ask you the whole time.
Oh my goodness gracious!
You have a rainbow of something painted on your arm. Please explain what the heck is going on.
I thought you were going to say on my cheek because I also have like extremely.
That's why I said you're like sparkling.
Limited to like sparkles on my cheek. I was just at Access Hollywood before. I was doing a demonstration of Kylie Cosmetics' new fall collection.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all of Kylie's
so you have
matte lipsticks on my arm.
Oh, that's what that's lipstick on your arm. Why don't you put it on your lips?
Well, it's just what they do today in influencer makeup marketing. They're like, put it on your arm. It's like, here's the colors.
Oh, so you're testing it. Okay, I was super confused. It looks like you have like a tattoo of a rainbow on your arm right now.
No, that's the lip liner and lipstick.
Okay.
And
fair
I
enough.
Put on this purple.
I thought it might
stuff,
be something for your big night tonight, which Ashley is heading out of here right now to go see Hanson live in Las Vegas. And with that, Ashley and I would like to thank Caitlin Bristow for coming on the podcast today. Make sure you check out Home for the Holidays at the August Wilson Theater. Tickets at Broadway.com.
Julia Kinney, make sure you check her out on Marriage Bootcamp Reality Stars. It airs Friday at 9, 8 Central on WeTV.
And thank you for listening. We, that's Ashley and I, appreciate you.
Appreciate.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Type a review. It helps us out. It helps you out. Makes us love you even more than we do today.
Ben.
Keep in touch with us. Email us your opinions at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com. Call us at 855-BEN-N. That's not and. That's an N. Ash. If you want to leave us a message, that's 855-235-5274. Next week, we got the GOAT, Bachelor Bob Guinea. We're throwing it back. We're bringing it back in preparation for Ari's new season of The Bachelor. Hey, I've been Ben.
Hey, Ben. Allison, she says, this is an email we got this week. She said, the Almost Famous Podcast drinking game would be take a shot every time Ben says, appreciate. So well, I just had to just say
that's
that.
That's not a bad thing. I appreciate everybody out there.
And the way he says it is like kind of cute because he almost doesn't say the A. He's kind of like, appreciate.
Well, I appreciate all you.
Appreciate.
Ashley, okay. I appreciate you.
All right. I appreciate you, Ben. Love you. Love you.
Love you.
It sounded a little hostile.
Sign it off right.
I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye.
Love you.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.